And we are back with part two of this season finale of the Yet podcast. You know, we started this series almost 4 years ago, and we've racked it up to over 40 episodes already. This finale is really the first time that we're sharing live audio from an educational panel with our podcast listeners, but I think we'll do it again in season five. You know, there's always so much going on in Nashville. It can be hard to attend everything you want to, especially when we've got so many events, ride-arounds, artist showcases, all on weeknights, when it's likely that you're already worn out from the day-to-day grind. So if we can extend the life of these panels by recording them for those of you that couldn't be there in person, then I think we should. And if you have any particular interests that you'd like to hear about in one of our future panels, just drop us a comment. We'd love to expand our knowledge on new forms of entertainment that we haven't explored yet, like maybe fashion styling, athletic administration, touring. That's one of our goals for the upcoming year of YEP, to focus on all forms of entertainment beyond just music. So let's get back to our discussion about podcasting. Part two starts now.
Young entertainment professionals.
You're listening to the Young Entertainment Professionals podcast, a series featuring the next generation of creative and business professionals in music, TV, and film. Hear their stories on navigating the industry with the help of the Young Entertainment Professionals Network.
So, you know, as we've talked, podcasts, you know, when you're making them and producing them, they're usually aimed toward the listener. You know, that's kind of like the goal in mind. But as you guys have all been part of making your own podcast, what along your journey has kind of been the most rewarding thing for you personally? Whether it's just kind of like interviewing someone you knew from way back when and you guys are doing great now, or interviewing someone you never thought you would, you know, what has kind of been the, oh my God, this is great moment for you?
Of course, interviewing people that you grew up listening to. Like I said earlier, I mean.
Yeah, that's always.
Yeah. It's just those names you crazy. Dropped weren't too shabby.
But also on the flip side of that, being out in public, which I'm not one that craves for fame or whatever, and our podcast is still growing. But when you have some random person just walk up to you and say, are you Timon from the State of Black Music podcast? And I'm like, yeah.
You tell
and then
me.
They're just like, oh my God, I love the podcast. You know, we have like a segment on our podcast. They'll suggest different things that we should do, and or people will DM me and say how much they love it and they love my perspective, that kind of thing. That is probably more rewarding than anything else, just to know that people are really invested in what you're doing and they really sit down and listen and they take you with them during their workday or while they're working out or whatever. So that for me is probably the most rewarding thing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I would say feeding the curiosity, like feeding those questions of, you know, like, I wonder what, you know, what inspired them to start this project and whatnot. And I don't know, just being able to share that story through my platform and them opening up is just a really cool feeling. And, of course, those people that you grow up listening to and watching. There was one red carpet event that I did, like, about a year ago, and I got to interview Kathy Lee Gifford, who's, like, one of my all-time favorite on-camera personalities. Like, she doesn't care. She is totally unapologetic. You know what I'm saying?
It's a really hard word.
Ain't easy. Totally herself. So fun. And just to have that moment was really, really special. And then kind of going off of like every so often that validation from somebody. I was, funny enough, like super random, but I had gotten off work last week and I decided I was going to go through Taco Bell because that's my like end of day, work day thing. And
you gotta.
Was in the drive-thru line, really, really tired, and I pulled up, and the lady was super nice. She asked me how I was, and I was like, I'm okay, you know, I'm just, you know, like, ready to go to bed or whatever. She was like, yeah, you know, I make the most of it, and yeah, I was like, yeah, I was just getting off work, and she said, oh, like, your show? And I was like, I in fact, do have a show, and told her what it was. And she goes, are you on YouTube? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, I'm going to comment right now. Like, just wait for it or whatever. And so I literally was like, no. She's like, not going to comment. Like, she's not going to be able to find me. I'm driving home, like, with my quesadilla or whatever. And I get a notification. It's like, hey, this is so-and-so from the drive-thru. Like, love your YouTube page. And that, like, moment, as simple as it was like this validating, like, someone cared, you know? Yeah, so
absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely, you know, when you interview people that you grew up listening to or just admiring, even when you interview executives that you've admired when you were in college and you go, oh my God, how am I ever going to talk to that person? And then here you are talking to them. It's always really cool when, like, a lot of people that I found the show I've become friendly with, like, I've made a lot of friends that you meet for the first time on the podcast and then you become really good friends with them. That's really cool. I interviewed my next door neighbor who's a very famous author and writer, and I grew up he walked me to school with his son when we were in like elementary school, and I had him on the podcast, and that was thrilling. And then like when I had Billy Gibbons on, it was amazing because one of my best friends who I went to college with, him and I are both like lifelong ZZ Top Billy Gibbons fans. And I scored this interview with Billy, and I've never had a co-host before, but I just said, you're coming with me, bro. We're going to do this together. And we interviewed him together, and that was, like, such a cool, just, like, I don't know, friend moment. And it's just, like, you just do this, and then you look, and I've done almost 100 interviews, so you have 100 episodes. And they just kind of document something, like, even though you're not really talking about yourself, like, the early episodes, I listen back, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm horrible. Like, I sound horrible. And then, like, you see yourself mature as a host over 100 interviews. And I'm sure I'll look back at these and I'll be like, oh, my God, these were horrible, too. But it's just like it's very rewarding to see, like, every time you put a new episode up and then you go, oh, my God, I'm at 99, 98, or 100 or whatever. Like, it's almost like I like collecting stuff. Like, you just kind of feel like you collect episodes or you collect interviews. So seeing that grow and going from like 10, 20, 30, super rewarding.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Definitely collecting interviews, that's a good way to put it. For me, it's getting to watch a lot of guests that we've had from like the early episodes up to where we're at now and seeing them grow as artists and seeing them playing bigger rounds in town and getting big cuts and being like, we developed a relationship with them when they were just starting out, you know, and now to see them grow and all that. And then it is cool too when you have new writers that move to town and come up to you at the event and say things about the podcast and all that kind of stuff. So I would agree with what all three of these guys said.
So insightful. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to be wrapping in a few minutes, and we're going to turn it over to the audience if you guys have any questions. So be thinking on that. But another question for you guys, you know, for the people that are hoping to start a podcast soon or are maybe starting it right now and trying to find good direction, what advice would you give them that you either wish you had when you were starting out or you did have that really changed the game for you?
I don't know if I never thought that I would go into podcasting. Let's just say that. It just happened. But if you're looking to go into podcasting, I would say stay in your wheelhouse. Stick with something that you feel like you are passionate about, something you feel like you're an expert on. I mean, if you don't know anything about Bitcoin, don't do a podcast on Bitcoin. Like, it's just...
Unless it's the Idiot's Guide to Bitcoin and you're, hey, I know nothing about Bitcoin, we're going to figure it out together.
Or you have somebody on that knows a shit ton about Bitcoin, and then if you're learning as the audience is learning, you know? But
it's true.
What I feel like your listenership, people will become engaged with what you're doing when they feel like, okay, this is something that they're passionate about, this is something that they love, and I think it will naturally grow from there. But just try to stick with something that you feel like you are genuinely connected to. Don't just try to do something because everybody else is doing it or talking about it, and I think you'll be fine.
I would say consistency is a huge factor in starting a podcast and continuing it. I think that for me, there was a lot of pressure to create all of these segments at one time for every single episode. So, I mean, start off as simply as like having a great interview, like getting great at a great interview, and then factoring in the game when it makes sense for the guest. I think that if you get caught up in doing too many segments, it can seem a little scattered, and then it creates more work for yourself as well. So, you know, building, and then it kind of creates anticipation for your listeners. You know, you're not giving them so much at one time. So I would say start small, start consistent with what you know you can handle. And then from there, you can add on, you can grow your listenership, and then hopefully, you know, create a budget to hire on help. So
if you don't have a podcast and you're trying to start one, what I do is I hired someone to make my artwork. I like paid someone for my artwork. And I thought, if I pay someone to like make an asset for this, then I'm going to have to start this podcast because then I'll have like wasted all this money. So I remember I did that and I was looking at the artwork for like 2 weeks. And I was like, okay, I got to fucking start this. Like, here's the artwork. I got to do this. And then if you have access, like I was super fortunate that I had access to a friend of mine who was a publicist. And I like had him send out a press release. And that was the second thing where I was like, okay, now there's like a write-up in Music Row saying I'm going to do this. Like, I have to start this podcast. So just like ways, even like tell your friends you're starting a podcast, like they'll hold you accountable. I think also with the, like I like there's a Lorne Michaels quote where he goes, of SNL, he says, we don't go on because we're ready, we go on because it's 11:30. And I always love that because I feel like there's some interviews where I'm like, what am I going to talk to this person about? And like there's been many times where I'm like, should I cancel this? Like, I don't know if I'm going to be ready for this. And then it's just like, oh, come on, let's go. Like, you know, it's booked. I'm never going to get the chance again. Let's just talk to them. Sometimes those interviews end up being like the best interviews when you're kind of the most nervous going in.
Absolutely.
And I think like this is so obvious that I probably don't even need to say it, but I feel like especially, you know, if you're doing an interview style podcast and you get great guests, it's like you have one opportunity to make an impression to get the interview. If it goes bad, they're never going to come onto your show again. Like, do your research, do your prep, like make sure you have your questions in line, be flexible to go wherever they go or wherever the conversation leads. But like, that's like a reoccurring nightmare I have is like I'm about to do an interview and I haven't prepped at all for it. It's like, know what you're going to ask, and someone's taking the time out of the day, especially early on, you know, when you don't have a platform, someone's going to be doing you a little bit of a favor to come onto your show. And, you know, the least you can do is just be super prepared and value their time and say, you know, we're going to make a great piece of content together that's going to live on. And I mean, this stuff's kind of permanent unless you take it down. Like, the stuff lives out there and people listen to my later episodes and they go back into the catalog. It's like, you know, I try to go in with the mindset that every episode is going to be the best interview that person's ever done. And, you know, and maybe we'll fall a little short. But, you know, I try to take it super seriously, even though it's fun and everything. You know, I put a lot of work into it, I think everyone else here does, I'm sure. So that's the one thing is, like, you know, it's a big responsibility when you have big people on. You know, take it seriously and do the prep and make it a great interview.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say figure out what it is exactly you want to talk about, because then, just like they say, like, we're all, like, a lot of us work in music, and it's like, you're working in music, you don't feel like you're really working. Like, if you find what you're passionate about, you enjoy it a lot more. It makes staying up and trying to make sure this episode's edited in time for it to get on all the directories in time makes it a lot more worth it when it's something you actually give a shit about. I would say, too, early on, this helped me. If you have friends that are in the industry that you're looking to go into or that are involved in that topic, have them on, because it makes it a lot easier starting out to talk with someone that you're comfortable with before you reel in that big fish. You know, go out there, get your little small fish, and then you can work your way up to getting those big fish when you're more comfortable and you develop your interview skills more. And then I'd also say, just don't be afraid to try it. You know, worst comes to worst, 10 people listen to it, maybe 20 people listen to it the next time. You know, keep just grinding, and if you really want to do it, just get out there and do it.
That's awesome. That's amazing advice. Makes me want to start a podcast.
Let's
go. It's
going
to motivate us. Let's do it.
This podcast is supported by Creative Nation, a music company that motivates people to become the best version of themselves by valuing their unique talents. Founded by Grammy Award-winning songwriter and producer Luke Layard and Billboard power player Beth Layard, Creative Nation is home to Lori McKenna, Barry Dean, Tyler Johnson, Steve Mokler, Casey Brown, Cassie Ashton, Bear Reinhart, Alec Bailey, Jonathan Hutcherson, and Travis Wood. With 56 radio singles since its opening, 16 of which have reached number one, this company relies on passion, innovation, and inspiration to make the boldest moves in music entertainment. Visit www.creativenationmusic.com to learn more.
This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Publicity Nation PR, an industry leader in music and entertainment to help entertainers. In addition to media outreach, Publicity Nation specializes in artist development, branding, and commercial projects for artists, entertainers, entrepreneurs, and social influencers. Their drive, dedication, and exemplary work ethic leads to their clients' success. Be seen and be heard by visiting publicitynation.com today.
Okay, so does anybody in the audience have any burning questions for these guys?
What's going on? How you guys been?
Great. Good.
How are you? Doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's been a long day, but you know, I'm glad I'm here.
What's your name?
My name is Christian.
Christian.
Yeah. So I guess this is just more of a personal. Well, when it comes to podcasting, we're choosing like a podcast hosting site. Which one would you, I guess, sorry, that was the wrong way to ask it. So what podcasting hosting site do you guys, like, prefer? Like, which ones have you tried? Which ones? Because I know, you know, there's Anchor, Red Circle, Buzzsprout. We're currently looking to switch over to, like, a paid podcasting hosting site.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
100%.
What do you use? I don't use a paid one. What do you use? What's a paid one?
I use Buzzsprout.
And is that like, really worth it?
In my opinion,
what do you get from it?
You get more hours that it's up there. Like, you get a lot more than the free features.
Wait, what do you mean you get more hours?
Like, you're only allotted certain hours on a lower level membership. So you
like,
have
your
more
podcast
hours.
Can only be a certain length?
Like, you're only allowed to upload X amount of hours.
Well, it's really? Like, so, like, I think they have it, like, per hour, like, per pay. So you pay, I don't know, $24 a month, and you get 12 hours of recording time instead of it being
and the editing features if you want to do it if you don't have an Audition or a Pro Tools or something like that.
Yeah, so I guess I don't know, for those starting out, which ones would you prefer them looking into?
I used Anchor early on. Same. I never had issues with it.
Yeah.
Now I use Simplecast, which it actually is part of the American Songwriter Podcast Network. So come to think of it, they might, because I get amazing stats and everything, so they might pay for it. I don't know if you pay for Simplecast. American Songwriter might be paying for it, and I don't know. So right now I use Simplecast, which works great. But I used Anchor forever, and I had no issues. Did anyone else? Or
yeah, I use Anchor.
I've been Buzzsprout since day one, and I have friends that use Podbean as well. Like,
yeah,
as an indie, it really helps, you know. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You can track sponsorship dollars in there, which is something I do, and like there are a lot of good features and metrics.
That's what I've been noticing. I think we're gonna switch over to Buzzsprout, but yeah, because it's. There's a lot of great, like...
Buzzsprout does not sponsor, by the way. So this is completely just honest opinion.
Not at all.
Yeah, last I checked, we were using Anchor. So, I mean, it's pretty much...
Yeah.
I was doing, like, an hour plus upload a week on Anchor. And it never locked me out. Maybe if I was doing more, it would have. But I had no issues with Anchor. I mean, it was fine for me. I'm sure the haters are going to hate, but come on. Oh, here we go.
How's it going? Can you guys hear me?
What's up?
Yeah.
I guess I gotta come up with one. I guess what is what's the future of podcasting, right? Like it started.
God, do we look like we know what the future of podcasting is?
This is not a TED Talk.
No, this is something you should be thinking about.
That's a great question.
You don't want to get disrupted.
I don't think any of us have the best answer for it.
It moved from podcasting to video.
I think the future of podcasting is niching down, definitely. I think that early on, if you just look at media, it's like, you know, 120 million people tuned into the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. There were three fucking channels, right? Like, there's, like, you're never going to get mass appeal out of the gate, or at least it's very hard. I think now it's all about niching down, finding a niche. Like, Nashville music industry is probably a lot of our niches, certainly mine. And because I've grown that, I've able to sort of branch out a little bit, and I hope to continue branching out into that. So I think it's niching down. Then a lot of networks are starting to do paid content. And you're able to, you know, put stuff behind paywall and make more money. Like, you can use Patreon, or I think Spotify rolled out something, or maybe it was Apple. That stuff's great. It's hard when you're still, like, if you're still building a following, like, I don't want to lock anyone out of viewing my content. You know, I want my content to be as accessible as possible. So that's kind of not where I'm at yet with it. But I think that you will see that being the future, is that a lot of stuff will go behind a paywall. And because, you know, like, I think, you know, if you host a podcast, like, we all spend a lot of time on this, and we definitely don't make, I'll speak for myself only, I don't make nearly as much as I spend time on the podcast, which is great. I'm certainly not complaining about it, but, you know, if there was a way to monetize it more, You know, I think that'll be the future. I think we'll definitely see ways to monetize podcasts. Like, also, for example, like, Spotify doesn't pay for podcasting the way it pays for songs.
No, royalties are not
royalties.
Yeah.
Not that, like, you know, you'd be making a ton of money anyway, but, like, if you stream a song, you get a fraction of a royalty on podcasting. Like, you know, someone can listen to my thing a million times on Spotify, and that alone doesn't make me any money. You make it on advertising. So I think that'll probably change in the future.
And to your point about just, you know, podcasting individually, making it to a point where we'll probably have to pay for some of these podcasts. I mean, I think a lot more corporations are going to start to, if they haven't already, will tap into the podcasting world. I mean, I work for Sony Music, and we have a podcasting department now. So I just think more, especially like music corporations, if they haven't already tapped into the podcasting world, they will. I feel like that's where it's headed. So yeah, that's my little two pence.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's going to go to video too. I think that's part of the reason a guy like Rogan is Rogan. You know, more people watch Joe Rogan than sometimes people watch those late night shows. Like he's like a Jimmy Kimmel kind of figure now, and it's because you're able to watch it whenever you want. It's on demand content. It's like Netflix. You know, you can watch it whenever the fuck you want. So I think that is like the video side is going to be a big thing, and people will be tuning in for their weekly things, like they watch their weekly TV shows. You know.
I think I just read something recently where Spotify, I think that might have been what you were touching on, Spotify is actually making a concentrated effort on video podcasts.
To go up against YouTube, yeah, you know, yeah. Probably get at it with Google, so.
Yeah, to go off of that, I mean, video, I think. I mean, in a subscription. So if you think about everything from, I mean, with video, like I used to actually worry a little bit because I worked a little bit in network TV. So I wondered, you know, do I need to like sign to a network? Do I need to be on national television to do what I want to do? Which I mean, there is an obvious yes answer to that. But I mean, there's a lot of video going to digital. I mean, and there's major podcasts that I watch on YouTube when I'm able to watch. And then I listen when I'm on a long drive. So.
Yeah, I actually didn't even know about the video feature until I was watching yours the other day. And I had, like, put my phone down, and then I came back to it, and there was just a video on my phone. I was like, oh, this is going on Spotify. It's very cool. I think we have time. Did you guys have one quick question? Yeah, go for it.
How y'all doing? My name
is... standing up.
Hey, he's ready to go. I'm excited for this.
What's your name? We didn't ask this guy's name, too. Oh, I'm sorry. What was your name? Yeah. Steven.
Steven.
All right.
Yes, I'm Burundi Bugs, born in Nashville, Tennessee, born and raised. Currently have a new podcast I recently just put on YouTube.
Hey.
The Keeping It Taboo podcast, where we talk about sex and relationships. I'm trying to niche it down, but mostly about sex. I love to talk about sex.
there you go, buddy. Do what
I
you got to do.
Guy. Okay.
A lot of us like to talk about, yeah.
So I'm still trying to think about how I can like word this question in a good way. I thinking in the future of like the direction I'm trying to go in. So I'm thinking about like saturation of my content. So I'm trying to think about how often I should post, like am I posting too much? Am I repeating too much? Like, cause I'm trying to debate, is posting two times a week too much? Is posting once a week too much? I'm trying to think what's the perfect amount to.
What are you posting?
Just the podcast videos.
So I think if you talk to most people about this, you know, you could put one podcast out a week or two a week, might even be overkill, one a week. In terms of clips, like short clips, if you talk to anyone who's in like the digital marketing space, they would tell you that you should be posting 2-3 clips a day on TikTok easily. And that's what a lot of the best podcasts do. The best thing to do is like look at podcasts who are crushing the digital game. That's, you know, of course, their Gary Vee is unreal. Like BFFs, like any of the Barstool podcasts, Bustin' with the Boys is one that's done out in Nashville. Like, go watch the Zach Kuhn Show. Anybody else want to plug a podcast on? If you watch anyone who's really growing their numbers and really doing this, they're easily posting 2-3 times a day. I would just, you know, dissect their strategy. You can figure it out really easily. Like, just go look at the timestamps and see how much they're posting and what they're posting. But, you know, YouTube clips, maybe one or two a week. Full podcast once a week, and then micro clips that are 30 seconds, a minute long, 2 minutes, 2-3 times a day. Not that you have to be so religious about it early on. You can start with, you know, one a day. You can skip a day or you know, two here, three here. But the more you put out, the reality is that, like, your fans are not going to see. Like, you want to be putting out stuff so that you have the best shot of something going viral or someone seeing it. like the most you can capture. Every time you put something out, that's another opportunity for someone to see it, right? Yeah. The more you put out, the more someone can see it. So I think the you can't put out enough content at this point. As much as you can physically put out, that's what I would be putting out early on, at least.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you're going to annoy anybody by putting out a shit ton of stuff, especially if you're with what it sounds like your market is. I'm just being honest, you know, like, another thing too, and this was something that probably could have gotten mentioned, earlier, finding other people that are doing that style of podcast and going on their podcast or them coming on yours. It's a little bit tougher, like, for what I do, because, like, I talk with songwriters and artists, you know. I'm starting to talk to different music industry people now and, like, mixing it up. But having other people on that are in that realm, because then they're going to be like, oh, shit, what was this guy on? Oh, let me check out the Taboo podcast. And they'll check out that. And not saying you're going to steal their listeners or anything like that. They're keeping it taboo. Excuse me.
You gotta get Alex Cooper on the podcast. Do you think?
Let's go. There's a lot of folks that are out in that world that are not shameless, but like they're into that kind of thing, and they would probably love the opportunity to come on and do all that. So that's another avenue to just go down.
Sweet. Thank you. So I think we've run out of time for audience questions, but before we wrap this up, I just want to go down the line and have you guys plug what is going on next. What are you guys excited for in your worlds that we should keep an eye out for?
For the State of Black Music podcast, so as I stated earlier, we just dropped our episode with Earth, Wind, and Fire this week.
I'll listen to that.
I want to listen to that shit.
Oh my God.
Amazing conversation. And we're just gearing up for 2022. We're looking at some possible, looking to just amplify the podcast, looking at a few networks to go up under. So we're just kind of discussing that now. And the museum will have a lot of things happening in 2022. So I'm sure we'll probably tack on to that, those things. And yeah, just stay on the lookout. State of Black Music podcast, everywhere you listen to podcasts.
Yep, podcast. As I mentioned earlier, there is a new episode coming out next week, featuring Katrina Brooks, film and TV music, special effects, makeup, that sort of thing. And then, of course, this is going to be part one and two, separate episodes, so that'll be uploaded by end of year. And then in terms of the Libio show, I am updating, like, visuals for it, getting together a list of guests for next year, and then also a separate series that's just myself for the show. So lots of fun stuff, the Libio show everywhere.
I've got Paul McCartney coming on next year.
Hey, let's go, Zach.
Speak it.
The new episode's coming out next year. I do have a brand new show that I'm putting out in January of next year, which I haven't quite announced yet, but I'm super excited about it. We've recorded 5 episodes, and it's really funny, and it's really great. So I'm super excited about that. And then more of the same. To be honest, I haven't actually booked an episode for next year. So I don't know who's coming on. I'm very bad, like, the network I'm on, they're always like, can you give us a schedule of, like, what you're putting out when? I was like, I don't know, I decide what goes out the week it comes out. I'm very bad at organizing it. So, the Zach Kuhn Show, check it out. Follow it on podcast, on, you know, wherever you listen to podcasts. I have no idea what's coming next year, but it will come. And Paul McCartney will be on it. So there you go. What more do you want than Paul?
Yeah, you can't.
It's the only episode you need in a year.
Tough to go
really
up from there. So in the round, we just put out a brand new episode with my buddy Terry Adams, who is a wild dude, musician, still lives in Alabama, but works with the same artist I do here in Nashville. We'd have our writers rounds, like I said, at Live Oak. We have our first one coming up in January 4th. We're gonna be rolling out In the Round merch, which is really cool. So looking to add on to what we're making already off the podcast by getting some people repping the brand. And then as far as episodes and stuff, I also haven't scheduled. I'm a very big week of guy.
It works out.
Bro, it keeps it fresh, though, too.
It keeps it very fresh.
I kind of like that. I kind of like not dropping, not to get back into the podcast songs we're wrapping up here.
He's got Ringo coming on next year, actually.
How'd you know? But
In the Round and Zach Kuhn collaboration.
That would be a lot of fucking fun. We'd have a good time. But yeah, you guys can find In the Round anywhere you listen to your podcasts, and we have a YouTube channel now, so check out our low video quality while we're waiting to upgrade.
Hey, but you have the audio.
We do. Oh, we have great quality audio. Video, we're running off them Canon Rebels, you know. We're getting there.
It's okay. We're used to seeing Zoom. Yeah. You know. Well, thank you guys so much for coming. Thank you to our awesome panelists for joining us. Thank you, Home, and thank you to all the team at Yep for helping us put this on. Make sure that all of you guys and all of you listeners check it out. And yeah, Timon Bacon, Libby Ulrich, Zach Kuhn, and Matt Barrill, check them out. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you for having
us. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Young Entertainment Professionals Podcast. To get connected, visit yepnashville.com and follow Yep Nashville and Yep Los Angeles on social media. I'm your host, Libby Ulrich, and until next time, discover, cultivate, accelerate.
Well, that's a wrap for season 4. We're learning how to creatively direct and produce podcasts just as you are. Thank you all for listening and for being a part of our Yep community. Our board is super fired up for a new year of exciting events, and we want to meet all of you that are interested in participating. So if you're looking for a way to get more involved, come meet us at one of our upcoming mixers. They're usually scheduled for the last week of every month. You can follow at Yep Nashville on Instagram for updates, or keep up with our posts in the Facebook group. That's Yep Nashville Community Group on Facebook. And if you're in California, the Yep Los Angeles community group is still fairly new, but they've got a really tight-knit Facebook group as well. There's lots of opportunity for work and entertainment between those two cities. We're doing what we can to help you stay connected. See you in 2022. Mamba knows that responsible business and financial management is the key to lasting success. Their team helps new artists gain solid financial footing to launch successful careers and help industry veterans maintain strong financial foundations. Martin Albee Miller Bryan & Associates is located on Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee, and has been serving the business and financial needs of the music industry since 1981. For more information, call 615-383-1161 or visit them online at martinalbee.com.